Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has written more than 70 books, including nonfiction and children's books. With Consider the Sunflowers, Elma Schemenauer has written her first adult novel, a love story set in the 1940s, which draws on her own Mennonite heritage. Elma's on the phone with us from her home in Kamloops, British Columbia, to talk about the novel and her writing career. But first, let's listen to Diamond in the Rough from Chelsea Amber's Introducing Chelsea Amber CD.
Excavation, like a brand new civilization. I'll resort for a soul vacation. Oh, oh, that's me. I'm a story with an explanation. I'm a city with a new foundation. I'm a plane set for elevation. Oh, oh, that's me. A red rose that you pulled from the garden. I'm a heart that you just can't harden. I'm a death from miracle pardon. Oh, oh, that's me.
I'm a diamond in the rough. Do you know my word? 'Cause I'm moving now.
Fire in the dead of winter. I'm a needle for your deepest splinter. Oh, oh, that's me. You can't see me 'cause I'm underwater. You can't see that I'm the king's daughter. A lost treasure in the house of a hoarder. Oh, oh, that's me. I'm the wind that you just can't see. Grow a mighty tree from a tiny seed. I'm a prisoner that's just been freed. Oh,
now to our conversation with Elma Schemenauer. Good evening, Elma.
Yes, good evening.
Now, what led you down the path to becoming an author?
Well, I think I always wanted to be an author. I remember in grade 8, I wrote on one of my notebooks, be an author. It was such a callow thing to say, but that's what I always wanted to be. But it wasn't that easy to figure out how to get there.
Well, looking at that, what kind of things happened along the way to get you to the point where you were writing and were an author?
Well, I became a teacher first because, you know, it was a practical thing to do. It was something I knew about. And I grew up in rural Saskatchewan, so I didn't know any authors and I didn't know how to be an author. So I thought, well, you know, I have to make a living. So I became a teacher. So I taught for a while. And then I sort of thought, if I'm ever going to be an author, I have to kind of make a break for it. So I did a very daring thing. I moved to Toronto because I understood that was where publishing happened in Canada. So I moved to Toronto and tried to get myself hired by a publishing house, which wasn't too easy. But eventually, I did get hired by an educational publishing house. And this is not the usual track, though, that most people take when they become authors. But it was the way I did it. I got into that and then gradually worked myself up from that.
Looking at that, as you were an author, and I find that, you know, most authors are readers, have been influenced by others that have come along. Who were some of the people who influenced you early as a writer?
Early on, I had a good Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Miller. I'll never forget her. And, you know, we went through that, those stories of the Israelites in the Old Testament. She just made those stories come alive. So I think she influenced me quite a bit that way. And I had a very good English teacher in high school, too. And excuse me, she really encouraged me, and that helped a lot, I think.
Well, who are some of the people that influence you now? Who are some of the writers that you turn to now as you're looking at doing your own works?
Well, I have a Mennonite background, which comes through in my writing in some cases, at least in my novel, Consider the Sunflowers. That's one of the major influences on that. So I look to Mennonite authors with a Mennonite background. Rudy Weeb, I enjoy reading his books. And Sandra Birdsell, and I don't know how close she is anymore to her Mennonite experience, but it's there, I know, and it comes through, especially her book, Children of the Day. I got a lot of inspiration out of that. Although my writing comes through more Christian-friendly, if you know what I mean. There's more Christian content and more Christian commitment in my writing than in some of the authors that I'm influenced by.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at that, and I mean, you've had a number of books that are written. How many books have you had published?
Well, I've had 75, but it's a little bit of a deceptive number because some of them are very, very short. They're for children, and they're in series. For example, I've written about, I guess, 13 books about different countries of the world. And with the publisher, we worked out how to write these books, like what would we have at the beginning about where is the country and what are its neighboring countries and that kind of thing. What do the people do for a living? What is their faith? And that kind of thing. So we worked it out first with the book on Canada, and then we did it with the other books. And once you've worked it out once in a series, especially this publishing company wanted them all to be following the same path. So it isn't as hard as starting a book from scratch, if you know what I mean. You know, once you've written Canada, well, then you can go to Russia, do Russia following the same pattern. Guatemala, the same pattern. Of course, the content is different.
Well, looking at that and the fact that you've written children's books, you've written nonfiction, now you've written an adult novel, you've done all of these genres, is there any one genre that you prefer to work with?
Well, I think it has changed. In the past, I was probably more interested in writing for children, and I'm glad that I had that opportunity. Now I'm really concentrating on writing novels, and I've have this one published, which is delightful to me. I'm just so thrilled. But that's what I'm concentrating on now. I want to do another. I'm writing another novel, and that's what my main interest is right now.
Well, having done this and having, you know, sort of written over the, you know, a number of years, and I'm not going to ask you how long it's been, but I know that we've known each other through Write Canada for a number of years. What keeps you writing? What drives you and motivates you to stay doing what you're doing?
Well, my theory is that God gives gifts to different people, and I don't think that's a very unique theory. But I think he's sort of made me to write. I think that's probably the gift that he's given me. There's an awful lot of other things that I can't do that I wish I was more talented in, but I think that's the gift that I have, and I feel God's pleasure more when I'm doing it than possibly when I'm doing anything else, because I think that's what I was meant to do, if that makes sense.
That makes sense, and I've often talked to other writers, and they say there's an element that of they can't not write. You know, if they had to have a point where they had to take a break from writing for whatever reason, there was always that impulse within them that said, I need to write. I need to be able to get back and do what I've been created to do.
Yes, that's right. And when I remember once when I was very busy and we had a lot of company and so forth, and I wasn't able to write, and I get restless when I'm not able to write. But even if I write a report, you know, somebody wants a factual report on some organization or whatever, even that, is sufficient to feed that need that I seem to have. It doesn't seem to matter to me an awful lot what I write, but it just I just seem to need to write, you know.
Well, what I need to do is take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and finish and continue our conversation with writer Alma Schemenauer, and we're going to talk about her latest work that she's just mentioned called Consider the Sunflowers. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
So what if I'm not perfect? So what? It's not the end of the world. I may not have found my match, but I think that I'm a catch. I'm a beautiful mess.
Listening to Beautiful Mess of a Girl from the Introducing Chelsea Amber CD by Chelsea Amber. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Alma Schemenauer. Alma, you talk about Consider the Sunflowers. It's the first adult novel that you've written, the first fiction novel that you've written. What led you to writing a novel at this stage in your career?
Well, I've always dreamed of doing it, but I was doing a lot of other things because, you know, honestly, they make more money if you want to be really, really honest about it. I was doing a lot of educational work for educational publishers, textbooks and that kind of thing. And, you know, we all have to make a living. And so that was why I continued to do that. But finally, I said, well, if I'm ever going to write a novel, I better do it now. I better concentrate on it now. And I was always fascinated with the stories of my Mennonite relatives. I grew up in a Mennonite family, had these a lot of relatives, and I was always fascinated with their stories. So I wanted to kind of capture those, but fictionalize them.
Well, and you're talking about it taking you a while to do this. I saw an interview that you'd posted, an interview you did with a Kamloops television station. You said it took you 14 years to write Consider the Sunflowers. What kept you going in terms of to the point where you were finally able to get it done?
Well, of course, I was doing other things. I wasn't totally spending all those 14 years just writing the novel. I was doing a lot of other things, too. But partly what it was is the characters, especially Frank Workington in the novel, the main person in novel is Frank and then his wife, Tina. But I sort of thought I almost owed it to them, and that's really strange. But he came to life for me to such an extent that I felt, even when I got discouraged and bogged down, I kind of owed it to him to get him out into the world, you know? It's very strange.
Well, no, and I've talked to other writers, and they talk about that, you know, as they write and as they create novels and that, the characters become almost like real people. I've talked to one writer, and they talked about, you know, often having conversations in their head between their characters as if they were real people that you could meet on the street.
Yes. The other thing is, there's a Christian message in the book. It's not a message book. It's not a tract. But it has a Christian message, Christian content. And that was the other thing. I wanted to get that out into the world. Because when I was writing for educational public, there's only so much that I could write directly connected with my faith. And now suddenly I had this opportunity to express my faith the way I wanted to, you know, instead of always being constrained.
Without giving the ending away or doing any spoilers or not, can you sort of give us a little bit of an idea of what the plot, the story behind Consider the Sunflowers is?
Well, there's a woman she's a secretary. This is taking place in the 1940s, but there's a secretary in Vancouver. Her name is Tina, and she doesn't want to marry the man her Mennonite parents want her to marry, even though he seems like a very good man to the reader. But she is crazy about Frank, who is kind of a bad boy, and he's in her home community in Saskatchewan, and he isn't suitable. The reader can see that. He's not really suitable for her, but she's crazy about him. And she gets her man. She works at it, and she gets her man. But then, you know, reality sets in, and the two of them, they possibly should never have gotten married in the first place. But God overrules. It's not a happily ever after story, but God does overrule and work through this unideal marriage. And in the end, they're sort of on the way to a better place in their lives.
Well, looking at that and especially the fact that it's a historical novel, so you've got all the historical research that goes into that as well. What were some of the challenges that you faced as you were writing the novel? And again, aside from, you know, the fact that you were having to do other things at the same time to bring an income into the household and that, but what were some of the challenges you faced in writing the novel?
Well, there was the research. Now, I do have quite a good memory of my childhood in a community like I grew up in. That's the community that we have in the novel, mostly in Saskatchewan. I have quite a lot of memory of what was happening and how life was in those days. But there was a lot of research that had to be done besides, you know, because I didn't know exactly. I had to do an awful lot of research. And what else? I'm fascinated with Frank, but I must say, I mean, as a woman, it's not that easy for me to write from the viewpoint of a man. This is not an easy thing, you know. And I had a critiquing partner. It was somebody I met online. He was a law student in New York State, of all things, very sort of obscure connection for me to have made. But he was wonderful at getting me to understand how Frank would see things. And he would say things like, Elma, Frank wouldn't say that. He's a guy. You know, and as soon as he pointed it out, this critiquing partner, then I could see how it could be made better. So that was a big struggle. But yeah, so I had help. I had help from my partner in New York State there, and also others of online group critiquing group. They've helped me a lot in those different things.
Well, one of the things I know that happens too in the writing process is you also have these highlights, these sort of aha moments and times where you're writing and it's like, yes, this is going really well. What were some of those highlights? What were some of those aha moments that you had as you were working on the novel?
Well, Tina rejects her faith after their baby dies. She turns away from her faith almost altogether, although she was a Christian. She is a Christian, but she turns away from it. And then when she comes back to the Lord close to the end of the book, that was an aha moment for me. And it sort of wrote itself, if you know what I mean. Like, I just sort of felt it so much that I didn't have to change it much. It just wrote itself, yeah.
Did you find your character suddenly doing things that you didn't expect them to do?
Yes, for sure. And I would get pictures. When I was sleeping, I would think, oh, I should have a baptism scene. And then I'd say, no, that doesn't fit. It won't fit into the book. It's just ridiculous. And then when I would try to do it, it would work. You know what I mean? It's just get these sort of impressions. And
right.
Yes, the characters did different things. There's a rival for, there's a sort of... Frank, an old boyfriend of Tina's, comes along to make quite a lot of trouble, and he turned into more of a character than I thought he would, and that was kind of interesting too.
Well, looking at the time here, we need to take one final break, and then we'll come back and finish our conversation with writer Elma Schemenauer. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Don't let it all get in the way, yeah.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to It's Not Over Yet from Chelsea Amber's Introducing Chelsea Amber CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with writer Elma Schemenauer. Elma, what are you hoping people take away from Consider the Sunflowers?
Well, I hope that they'll take a Christian message from it, but I also hope that they'll just enjoy it. It's not a really utilitarian tract kind of thing, as I said before, I guess. And I hope that they will just be entertained and will enjoy it and will think that they have gained some understanding, more understanding of the human condition.
Well, after this has been done and you've done some publicity and marketing and that for it, what's next for you? What are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on another novel, and there's a character in Consider the Sunflowers who is very, very bossy. He's a domineering kind of lady, and everybody likes her because she's so horrible. And now I want to write another novel in which she plays a larger role, where she's the mother-in-law and, is very, very difficult for her daughter-in-law. That's the kind of thing I'd like to write next.
Well, if people are interested in finding out more about Consider the Sunflowers or more about you, where can they do that?
Well, they could go to a website that I made for it. It's http://elmams.wix.com and then slash again NSFLWRS. That's a sort of shortened form of sunflowers. But the book is available to order on Chapters Indigo online.
Great. Well, Elma, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Yes, thank you, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Elma Schemenauer. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at selawministries.ca. That's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email Robert at Selaw Ministries or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.